From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Martin. He's listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Martin.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
My question would be, what is the status of the human fossil record as it pertains to the evolutionary paradigm?
Well, you know, that's one of the great truths communicated through the Christian worldview, and that is the fossil record has actually uprooted Darwin's tree of life. We see that, for example, in the Cambrian explosion. There simply is no evidence whatsoever for transitional forms from one kind to another kind. Now, there are changes within kinds, but not changes from one kind to another kind. And the examples of transitional forms that are vertical as opposed to horizontal hardly hold water.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking online and I was trying to find pictures of, you know, the skeletons that they've dug up. And a lot of it's just diagrams and artist renderings of it. Like if you look at the skeleton they call Lucy, its skull is a little bit different than ours, but like I wouldn't go so far to say it's monkey-like.
Well, I really like the point you made. I mean, if you look at Darwin's Tree of Life, it is, after all, a drawing. It's an illustration. It appears in The Origin of Species to persuade the faithful that all species are, as Darwin put it, lineal descendants of some few beings which lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited. And at the root of the tree, you have a handful of organic building blocks. At the tips of its budding branches, you have all these modern species. But what you really have is the tree of life becoming an icon. And the icon then becomes the argument. And it is the principal symbol now for evolution. And multitudes hold this icon as being an infallible argument. In fact, the mere mention of it often invokes devotees of Darwinism to bow deeply at the twin altars of common descent and natural selection. But the tree of life is simply incorrect. In the geological period designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appeared suddenly and fully formed. And no less an authority than Richard Dawkins, who is probably the most popular and perhaps the most famous evolutionist on the planet today, acknowledged that it is just as though the fossils were planted there without any evolutionary history. And that's precisely the case. Darwin's tree of life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. I've written about all of this in the Creation Answer book. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Bobby in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Bobby.
Yes, hello. I had a question about Matthew 15, where it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into the any city of Samaria, enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep in Israel. Matthew 15, verse 24, but he answered and said, I am sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that other verse I just read was Matthew 10 and verse 5 and 6. And match that up with Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is exactly what Jesus did. He first came and he ministered to the very people who were called to be a light to the nations. But remember that God chose a people to be a light to the nations. And that people ultimately is represented on both sides of the cross by true Israel. true Israel not by genealogy or natural descent, but by spiritual descent. And the commission has always been the same. Israel in the Old Testament was to be a light to the nations. True Israel in the New Testament is called to be a light to the nations, and therefore the great commission given by Jesus Christ is for all of us to not only go out and make converts, but more specifically and importantly, to make disciples. A disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. And remember the admonition that we have in Scripture, that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, there is no slave or free, there is no male or female. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, according to Galatians chapter 3, and heirs according to the promise. Again, it's not a matter of race. It's always a matter of relationship.
Back to our phone callers. Next up is Steve. He's listening in Montana, listening on the web. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. My question is, how is it today that the Jewish people still deny Jesus when there's so much information? I don't quite understand how intelligent people that understand at least the Old Testament can't see Jesus as being real.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of whether you can believe. It's oftentimes a matter of whether you will believe. But remember, people are just people, and people reject Jesus Christ for the same reasons, whether they're Jew, whether they're Americans, whether they're Dutch, whether they're French, they reject Jesus Christ for the same reason. And that is a reason that Jesus Christ himself gave. Light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But I think it's really important that we as Christians are able to communicate effectively to those who are engaged in the Jewish tradition. We can communicate that his ancestry was marked and his birthplace foretold, that circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion was invented, that the date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters, that he would work extraordinary miracles, that he would fulfill the law and the prophets, and that it would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and therefore he would be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. And if you look at it, only God could have etched this magnificent portrait of the Christ in the Old Testament, and only he could cause it to take on flesh in the New. Only Jesus could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, and we should have the ability to communicate that clearly to those who want answers. So often, when you run into Jews who are steeped in Judaism, they reject the Bible because they don't think that the prophecies regarding Jesus Christ have anything to do with Jesus Christ at all. And this is one of the things that I explain, particularly in the area of typological prophecy, in my book, Has God Spoken? So if you want to find an effective way to reach Jewish people who do not think that Jesus fulfills the Old Testament portrait and prophecies, that book would be a very helpful resource to you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brent. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Brent.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good.
My question is, I don't know like what the percentage of people that are religious around the world, but it seems to be a commonly accepted form of how we got here. And I'm an atheist, just to clear that up real quick. But what I was always curious about is, if creationism is correct, why is it mainly indoctrinated towards children? Because I remember when I was a kid, you know, I liked the Steelers because my dad did. I wanted Mark Martin to win because my dad wanted it to. I'm a Boomer Sooner all the way because my dad was. And then I believe Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, and Jesus because my parents told me about it. And then the ever-ending, which I think is a horrible way to go about it, is if you pray to be in the Book of Life, you'll spend eternity in paradise, and if you don't, you'll be on fire for forever. Well, when you tell a six-year-old, you can either say this and you're good for forever, or you can be on fire for forever, it's a no-brainer situation.
Yeah, well, look, the issue is, does the Christian world correspond to reality? And so I always have to start with the issue of origins. If you're an atheist, you have to believe that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. If you're a Christian, you say every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. The universe, therefore, didn't just happen. It is designed by an intelligent designer. Furthermore, in a biblical worldview, we believe that Jesus Christ is God because he demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. We don't believe that through blind faith, like faith in a tooth fairy or faith in Santa Claus, but rather through faith founded on a refutable fact. I'm coming up to a hard break, but if you want to hang on, I'll be willing to discuss this with you further right after the break.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to Brent. Brent, thank you so much for calling, by the way. Appreciate your call and your question. And just to go back to what we were talking about earlier, I think there are real reasons to believe that this universe did not just come about by chance, and real reasons to believe that it doesn't stand the test in an age of scientific enlightenment to suppose that nothing creates everything. And there are a lot of ramifications to an atheistic worldview, because if you're just a material being, then your choices are not free. They're fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. So the consequences of a materialistic worldview are very dramatic.
Okay, but more or less what I was asking is, I think religion has some good points, don't get me wrong. As far as the personal experience I've had in my life, I've come to my own conclusion that it's not real. As far as like the whole Big Bang Theory and stuff like that, it obviously doesn't add up, because if we had proof, then, you know, you'd see Richard Dawkins or whoever up on the news saying,
Yeah, but the Big Bang Theory is not a Christian theory. I mean, the Big Bang is cosmology. And it either stands the test of scrutiny or it doesn't. And by the way, Christians have no problem whatsoever adhering to the Big Bang, because the Big Bang presupposes a beginning. So that kind of cosmology, whether it's true or false, I mean, has to be determined on other grounds, but it does not in any way conflict with the biblical worldview.
True, but my main point of my question is, if religion is so logical, why not wait till children reach an age of reason before you teach it to them? Because I've never seen them go, hey, Billy, there's either we were created by intelligent design or we happen by natural selection in nature. I've always seen, hey, God created us. Jesus is your buddy. If you don't ask to be in the book of life, you're going to be on fire for the rest of forever.
Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't teach that you're going to be on fire for the rest of your life forever. What God does is allow you the opportunity to have a relationship with him or to reject that. C.S. Lewis, a great thinker, said that there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. In other words, if you don't want a relationship with God, he doesn't force that relationship on you, Brent, either in this life or in the life to come. And that's what hell is from a biblical perspective. It is God continuing to sustain you in existence, albeit away from his goodness and his grace. The metaphors that the Bible uses are metaphors, and we should read them in that sense. They're metaphors to communicate just how horrible it would be to live in eternity apart from the goodness of God. But you don't want to make metaphors walk on all fours, otherwise it's hard to have a conversation of any kind. If I'm saying it's raining cats and dogs, you know what I mean. It's raining hard. If you start to think I'm trying to tell you that cats and dogs are actually falling out of the sky, we can't have a meaningful conversation. But as far as what you're saying about this idea of children, that's committing what we would call the genetic fallacy, to say that because many people come to faith as children and keep that faith in to adulthood, that faith somehow or other is right or wrong. No, you got to determine whether it's right or wrong based on its own merits. And that's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that you can look at the universe and say the universe demands a intelligent designer. If you find a basketball, you never suppose that that basketball just came into existence by itself. The universe obviously is a bit more complex. If you look at the compelling case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christians don't believe that because they just choose to believe it. They believe it because all the evidence points in that direction. I mean, no less an authority than Dr. Simon Greenleaf, the Yale professor of legal evidence at Harvard, said that the evidence for the resurrection is so overwhelming that it stretches credulity to believe that it's not true. Logic, common sense, in an age of scientific enlightenment, compels us to not only allow for natural causes as explanations for what we encounter in this world, but for supernatural explanations as well.
I can partially agree to that. You know, the Earth happens to be the exact distance from the sun to get heat and light, but not to fry us. And if the atmosphere wasn't structured the way it is, we would all, again, either fry or dehydrate. But I don't know. I guess eventually one day I'll either die and figure out I'm wrong, or and come around the other way.
Well, and I hope you do, because the reality is I was in exactly your shoes until I was 29 years of age. And then I spent some real significant time looking at the evidence. And I can tell you that the evidence for creation, the evidence for the resurrection, the evidence for the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin is compelling, to say the least. And today, I can say to you as well, Brent, that Christ is more real to me than the very flesh upon my bones, and I hope you have that experience as well. And by the way, I really commend you for listening carefully to arguments. I note in the conversation, a lot of people don't want to be confused by facts, but you're quite different. You're listening, seeing if the reasoning has any validity, and then judging on its merits, and I commend you for that.
Not a problem. I'm always up for knowledge.
Thanks for calling, and if we could do anything else for you, please let us know.
Hey, before you kick me off real quick, Hank,
I'm not going to kick you off.
Cool about it. I've driven through Missouri a bunch of times going home to feed my wife. I'm stationed out at Fort Knox, and I'm in the United States Army. But a lot of radio stations that I've heard are very angry and hateful and just like Bible-thumping hardheads who condemn anybody who don't believe the way they do, and I've tried to talk to them. And it's, they shut you down. And, like, I had a guy on the radio tell me I don't deserve to serve this country because of the way that I believe. And I was like, I went to war for you, and that's how you treat me. So thank you for being very respectful.
Well, thank you for your service to our country and for your kind and generous way of conducting the conversation. That's how conversations become meaningful. So thank you, Brent.
Hey, not a problem. Have a good one.
You too. I want to go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Tom. He's listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. What a great opportunity to, and so many times when I'm listening to your program, to get to pray, and that's exactly what I've been doing for Brent. Mm. And God bless him for serving this country.
Amen.
Freedom isn't free, and he is searching. And that's awesome. He's going to find. Keep searching.
Right, exactly. And I was in that position myself.
Yeah, haven't we all at one time or another? I think 99% of us. So listen, real quickly, you're an ambassador for CRI. So many behind you, and I just appreciate the effort and the hard work that occurs. The question I have is regarding DNA, which might be another real good one for Brent, brother, if you're still listening. I love The Privileged Planet. I got that DVD, and we look at that thing so many times and just are in awe of what it shows. And one of the things with Lee Strobel and his books, too, I've read so many of his books, and I love what he gently does as he walks you through common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But have you heard whether or not, now I don't know if the Smithsonian, I don't remember what big institutions have, the old skeletons, they were so, especially when Darwin and Origin of Species and evolution was such a big deal, they were so happy to have those, thinking they were probably human skulls. And now that DNA can discern exactly what they are, whatever species, do you know if any of those major fossils like that have been tested? And if so, you know, where they line up now, especially since they've discovered their monkey, probably.
Well, I think that's exactly the problem. I mean, the icon, the ape to man icon, has become the argument, and the argument turns out to be flawed for a lot of reasons, including the fact that the icon itself is flawed. And many of the icons that are part of the ape to man icon, like Pithecanthropus erectus, Peking man, Piltdown man, Nebraska man, etc., have been demonstrated to be absolutely false in terms of being transitional forms between apes and human beings. But beyond that, there are many other arguments that could be adduced to demonstrate that there's no linkage whatsoever between an ape or a monkey and a man, or a chimp and a man. And I think that evidence is very, very compelling. The biblical principle is more correct today than it ever has been, and that is kinds reproduce after their own kinds. The kind of transitional form that's pointed to, and of course we believe in transitions within kinds, just not from one kind to another kind, the kinds of transitions that are pointed to, and I give many examples of this in the Creation Answer book, upon further examination simply do not hold
any weight whatsoever. You know, and think about the incredible leap of logic it is to suppose that scales develop into feathers, in the whole notion that reptiles evolve into birds. That is stretching credulity for sure beyond the breaking point of any thinking individual. I've written about this again in various places, including The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution and The Creation Answer Book.
And then, yeah, even the fossil record doesn't show any transition. And so I was most curious whether or not CRI has a prospectus on any of that testing that was done against those old assumptions.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, one of the books, by the way, from the standpoint of the whole idea of intelligent design and DNA is a book written by Stephen Meyer called Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design, the subtitle.
I'd like to stay on the line and maybe order those if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
God bless you. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you for your support. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.